It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. It's Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten. The Lakers getting ready for a huge series at Ferris State. And, Damon, what's the preparation been this week? You've had a weekend off. You came back from Alaska more than a week ago now, and it's time to play hockey at Ferris State, a huge series.
Yeah, well, I think guys are ready. You know, it's been a long week with that bye week mixed in last week. I think it was important for that bye week with the travel we faced, and so I think that worked out fine. I thought guys kept a good edge on themselves throughout the week, and pretty good week of preparation. And we talked Tuesday night, Bill, but I thought we could have went in Sunday, Monday, dropped the puck. We're ready to play, and we're ready to go. So excited, confident, and sitting in a really good spot right now. It's going to be very important for us to get off to a good start in that building.
Yeah, you want to win on Friday night if at all possible. We're going to need at least 3 points this weekend. 4 would be really, really good. 6 would be outstanding. 6 would get you into a playoff spot for sure. And it'll be tough because Ferris State's a tough place to play. Let's talk a little bit about that facility, first of all, and why it's a tough place to play.
Well, you know, and they claim that the dimensions are the same. I don't buy it. Like, it's just, it's a different feel. Obviously, it's a low roof. It's a loud building. They've got a great student section called the Dog Pound that sits right behind their goalie for 2 periods. And, kind of a low tin roof that everything echoes around, and anything that happens, it makes it sound like it's the greatest scoring chance in the world or the biggest hit in the world. So you've got to be prepared to handle a hostile crowd, which, we've been enough of that. I think we'll be fine that way. But the way the rink dimensions are set up, everything happens very quick. They'll throw everything at the net, from the defenseman, from the corner of the net, from below the goal line. So it's kind of a real ping pong type of game where you don't have a lot of puck possession or time and space to make a lot of plays. So it's just a real quick happening game where, mentally you have to be ready to play. You have to protect your hands because things do happen quick in those small zones. And, do a really good job of puck management. I think we can use our team speed effectively against them, especially if we're going to put pucks to good areas, put it behind their D, put it to good areas so we can establish a forecheck, keep it away from Smith and Nett, who likes to play the puck. And, we want to have some possession and use our speed this weekend.
Yeah, they have a couple of good goaltenders. Darren Smith played well against the Lakers in a victory here a few weeks back, but then we beat Kapellmeister in Game 2. They'll probably use both their goaltenders. You'll probably do likewise. You've set kind of a trend now. It's Nick Kossoff one night, Marek Smittens the next, and they've certainly done a good job here late in the season. But goaltending is going to be a key for both teams.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's such a critical part of our sport, obviously, no different than a quarterback or the starting pitcher. You've got to get strong performances out of that position. And I think with our guys, what we've talked a lot about is, we don't need you to steal games or single-handedly win games for us. You just got to look down at the other end, and you have to match the performance of the guy in that net. And Marek and Nick are both playing at a high level right now. They're confident, they're aggressive, and we're going to need that to continue.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about dimensions here, and I think I agree with you. I don't think that's a 200-foot ice surface. The biggest difference to me in that building, again, going back to that for a second, Damon, is the corners. They are not out and rounded like they are here at Able Arena or at very many other places that we play. They're really tight. Everything funnels to the back of the net. They like to take the puck to the front of your net, and they're pretty good at it because it's their building. They're used to it.
Sure, yeah. No, they've got the home ice advantage in that building for sure. They know the bounce as well, the way things happen. And again, just the quickness with which the game happens there because of the smaller surface or smaller zones, the way things are laid out, not a lot of room behind the nets there. One thing we've talked a lot about, we haven't been able to rep it much at home, but we will as we get there later tonight, is, as you mentioned, everything ends up at the back of the net. So when we're going on line rushes and can't make a play, we have to dump pucks in behind their goaltender into their zone. We want to make sure we're doing soft dumps or cross-corner dumps so that their goaltender can't stop it, set it up, and and we'll struggle to establish our forecheck here. So quality puck management with putting pucks to good areas in the forecheck is going to be very important.
Yeah, now you've got a pretty solid lineup at this point. You've used basically the same lineup the last 4 to 6 hockey games. You got a couple guys you'll float in and out of there a little bit to rest somebody perhaps, or if there were an injury or something, but it's been a pretty solid thing. And I think Yuki Miura's added a lot. Throwing him in on a line there gives you some depth up front. He's played really well with Diego Cuglietta and Max Humitz. But you've got other people playing well. I think Campus Erickson right now is probably playing the best hockey of his freshman year.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple guys, no question. You know, Yuki's been a real spark to our team, you know, finally coming off that long-term injury and, you know, just a young freshman, you know, second year in the U.S. And so he's battled a lot in terms of language and diet and things like that. But he's come into our lineup and done a really good job. And, you know, we use that line to play against other teams' top lines very often. And he's very responsible and intelligent defensively. Defensively, you know, Hampus has played extremely well as of late, really taken a step. And, you know, he's that big body. He's scoring. He's making plays offensively, but he does it with good defensive responsibility to his game as well. You know, he's playing with Anthony Nellis, who I think has probably been our best player as of late. Couple big game-winning goals in Bemidji. But Nellis has just really elevated his game as well. So some individuals have played well. And then, again, I still think a real key has been, you know, the health of our D-Core, getting guys, you know, eligible, first of all, in terms of the Ruggiero transfer and getting eligible at Christmas. And then Sockerman and Kybel are, you know, closely back to 100% health. You know, I don't care who you are or what team you are, when you lose, you know, arguably what's three of our top four defensemen now with Ruggiero in, you know, you're going to be challenged and, you know, struggle at times with that. So we're a real young D-Core, but those guys getting healthy has been important. And then I think Will Rydell and Tyler Anderson is another freshman. They play together as freshmen, which, you know, you usually try to avoid that. You like to pair a young guy with some experienced guys, but those guys have been really solid as well. And you know, it's been tough to make a change there because of the minutes everybody's given us on the back end.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how your freshman D-men respond at Ferris State. It can be a real nightmare for defensemen, as you know, and you got four guys who've never played in that building before. So you're hoping maybe they're veterans, or maybe Sockelman's talking to them a little bit about what to expect there. And you can't really recreate that. I think it's going to be a real key to have a great practice down there on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and we've certainly been very cognizant of that as we built our practice plan for tonight in Big Rapids on their sheet. And then even Friday morning, you know, typically our pregame skate, we don't stray a whole lot from what we do. It's a real quick 10, 12 minutes, touch some pucks and get a real light sweat. But we will, you know, change it up just a little bit and get a little bit of extra work to get used to some of the spacing for a defenseman breaking out, forwards handling wraps, chipping the walls, things like that. So a little bit of a change in our preparation just to prepare for what you see in the dimensions down there.
Yeah, Ferris State does not have an overwhelming lineup. They are about like Lake Superior State with offensive production, defensive play. Their statistics are very much like Lake Superior's, but they do have some players that will really bear some watching. I'm thinking of Corey Mackin, Mitch Maloney. They got a freshman named Lucas Finner who's having a heck of a year for them. They do have players you got to keep an eye on, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. I think Corey Mackin, you know, it maybe hasn't quite had the year this year as he did last year playing with Gerald Mayhew, but I think he's as dangerous as a forward as there is in the league. You know, you have to respect him at all times and really, you know, play him tight. If you give him space in small areas, he can create and really hurt you quickly. So playing him tight with good gap is really important. You know, Maloney did not play against Mankato, and I have not seen anything media-wise about why or what happened. And it's funny, as I was kind of looking at their lineup, I came across an article about from Ken Hitchcock, and somebody in the Dallas media, Chicago media, asked him about, you know, how do you feel about Joel Quenneville this year, you know, whatever. And Chicago Blackhawks have struggled this year after winning a couple Stanley Cups the last little bit. And Ken Hitchcock said, "Are you kidding me? I don't care. Whatever can go wrong for that program, I want to go wrong, or that organization." And you know, it's a unique little thing there. You know, we've had a strong relationship with Coach Daniels and the job they've done there. But you know, that's the mindset. You know, we're worried about Lakers. We've had our own challenges and breaks. And so, you know, we're healthy, we're feeling good. And so, you know, we've got to be who we are, but we'll take whatever break and, you know, we can get down there. So I won't be hurt if Maloney's not in the lineup. You know, we had to go weeks and weeks without Ruggiero and Kybel and Sockerman and others. You know, Yuki's another one of those guys. So hopefully some of those breaks and bounces are evening out here for us a little bit.
Yeah, you know, breaks-wise, you haven't gotten very many on the schedule maker side of things either this year, and a lot of fans want to know, you know, why are the Lakers gone the whole month of February? I think we've talked about that quite a few times, but it's certainly something we'd like to stay away from in the future because it really hurts your crowds, it irritates your hometown fans, and it it's tough on you guys. It's tough on the players. Oh, it's tough on the coaching staff. You're not at home.
Yeah, no, it's been less than ideal, to say the least. And I can't remember if first year, we must have been a vote for this year. Obviously, we'd not have voted, but it's essentially a majority vote from each staff or each head coach, you know, if the schedule works for that particular year. So when we meet, when we have our convention, we'll vote on future years and what they look like. And, you know, everybody likes to say this time of year, well, we'd never vote for that. It's not fair to Lake State. But believe me, if you like it for your school, you're going to vote yes, and we'll do the same thing. So again, you hope it balances out a little bit. But not only have we been gone now the last half, but the two games over break where our students aren't around, and, you know, providing some of that atmosphere that the Laker Legion brings. So it's been frustrating that way, and we haven't taken advantage of the chances we had here and some other situations. So but that's all behind us. It's all about Friday night, and we'll worry about scheduling and making some adjustments down the road. It won't look like this next year. It's a better balance, no question about it. But this has been real unique and really disappointing for our fans and for our community.
Yeah, you're hoping on Friday night, obviously you're hoping for a victory, but you got to watch the scoreboard a little bit too. We've got another huge series going on that could affect the Lakers' fate so far as being in the playoffs goes. That would be Bowling Green playing at Alabama Huntsville. You know, you talk about schedule maker. Lakers have been away the whole month of February. We haven't been at home one weekend in February. We're either off or away. Huntsville's the opposite. They're at home the whole month, and this will be their fourth straight series on their home ice. And I think in those four series, not counting the one coming up because they haven't played it yet, but they've only won one game out of all these games at home.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's not a great place to play. They struggle with attendance, and so I think sometimes it's hard for the home team. You know, there's a little bit more pressure. Sometimes the players think you got to change who you are to kind of entertain the home crowd, and so there's an advantage in a little bit of way where, hey, you're going in for a road game. You're playing simple. You're looking to just kick the crowd out of it and win a hockey game. There's no style points or things like that. So those change a little bit. Obviously, it's always nice to be home when you have a crowd like we have here in the Laker League. Going and certainly matchups is very important. That'll be something we'll have to be really sharp with on our bench, getting a D pairings against their top lines, and doing what we can up front to match against Mackin and Maloney if he is in as best we can. But with so much on the line for them to be home the whole month and have eight games and us to be the road, it's not ideal. But once again, it is what it is, and we're just going to try to continue our road warrior mindset and go take care of business Friday night.
Yeah, you've won four straight games on the road. You played real well for longer ago than that, though. I like to refer back to Northern Michigan. That was a series before we came home to finish it off there at home. But we played really well at Northern. We lost two games, 3-2. Could have won both those games. We certainly had chances, and we played really well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree. I think we've been playing this way for quite a while. The results haven't been there quite as long. It's certainly nice to see the guys get rewarded and to stick with it. Like you said, the Northern and the week or two before that, I thought our attention to detail defensively has been very good. There's been a lot of nights where we're giving up under 10 grade A's, and that's quite the feat to do, and that gives you a chance to be successful. And so when you couple that with matching the other team's goaltending and getting solid to good to great goaltending, that's a recipe for a lot of success. And it's a good time of year to be great defensively. Obviously, going into the playoffs or that stretch run, you want to be playing your best hockey, and I certainly think we are. All those areas we've already hit, getting the goaltending this time of year, getting our decor really healthy and good chemistry established, and even up front, really our top nine probably haven't changed much at all. We have one or two forwards we kind of spot in or out, so we're pretty set with the way we play, and our guys are ready to play. So I wish it was Friday night 7:07 here, we could drop that puck.
All righty, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning on ESPN 1400. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, second half of the show, right after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. Hockey Lakers heading down to Ferris State this weekend. It's a must-win situation. We got to win a game. We certainly want to win that game on Friday night, Damon, because then anything can happen on Saturday night. We'll be keeping an eye on what's going on between Bowling Green and Alabama Huntsville. That's the other series that really has a major implication for the Lakers trying to grab a playoff spot. Boy, it'd be great if we could win two games, though, and get up into seventh place and play maybe at Northern or at Bowling Green rather than that long trip out to Mankato. And I don't know how much you think about that. I think about it a lot. I don't want to go to Mankato, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, like I said, for us, we're just worried about Friday night. I know there's, you know, we know the scenarios. We haven't talked as a staff with our team about what those things look like. But again, I think with social media and the players know. They know where we're at and what's on the line and everything along that way. But again, you know, I think Diego said it a couple of weeks back that, you know, just take care of our own business. We have a singular focus to play a good 20 minutes and, you know, have a great, even more so broken down. We've talked a ton lately of just, it's that 6 minute segment. You know, have a good start Friday night on the road. Let's get to that first media timeout. We can make any little adjustments we need to make at that first media timeout, but you have to be ready to start on the road and take the crowd out, handle kind of their surge and their push. And so we really want to be that simple, is breaking it down into those 6-8 minute segments between media timeouts. You know, take your breath and just a real simple, easy road performance to go in and win a hockey game.
I'd like to talk a little bit about recruiting on this show this morning before we're done, Damon, but I want to stick with this series. It's so important. Ferris State this weekend. I'm thinking all hands are on deck. Rich Mitro will be there. Mike York will be there. You'll have Paul Prouche, Natalie Reynolds. It'll be everybody who can be part of Laker hockey. Terry Mitro, Wes DeYoung, everybody's going to be there for this one. It's important that we do things. You talked a few minutes ago about trying to match up the other team's lines. That's difficult to do when you're on the road because you don't have last change. So you kind of have to know what they like to do, their tendencies, shall we say, and then you watch what's going on. You try to match from that viewpoint.
Yeah, right, exactly right, Bill, and that's why it's nice to have, you know, Terry and Wes eyes in the sky there a little bit. But you certainly, you know, hey, are they just rolling four lines? And if they're rolling four lines, then you can give a pretty good feel for what they're doing. Are they not playing their fourth line at all, or just spotting them in? You know, coming out of special teams, that gets challenging because obviously if you're on the power play, a lot of your top guys just went, so you're going to need a line or a shift out of some of your depth guys. But yeah, you really want to have a good feel. And you know, you'll notice a lot of times if you watch closely, you know, we might start, say, you know, we have to turn our starters in first on the road, and so if we start, you know, Ruggiero and Sockerman and they don't come out with their top line and they don't bring them next, you know, you might see a double shift right away from Ruggiero Sockerman to try to establish that matchup, and then it might cost another pairing. You know, they might not get out there for the first three and a half minutes, something like that, as we're working to establish those matchups. And certainly, you know, off an icing for our team, you know, you're in trouble here. If you have the wrong matchup out and they can throw out the Mackin line, you know, you're going to be a little bit nervous about that matchup. Conversely, you know, they ice the puck, you can go get what you need that way. So it's a little game within a game where you try to be cognizant. I think at the same time, you know, I've been on some teams somewhere where you're so worried about the matchup that your best guys aren't getting in a rhythm. And I can remember back to playing with, you know, Mike York, and I think it was him and Sean Horkoff, two guys played over 10 years in the NHL, you know, as individuals. And I can't remember who we were playing, but I think there was one game where Coach Mason was so worried about keeping Mike York away from somebody. It might have been Coach Conley at Northern Michigan, and Coach Conley just kept playing the crap out of that line, and here you got Mike York sitting on the bench. So you don't want to get too caught up into it, that where your best guys can't get in a rhythm and get impacted. You know, Mike York has to play, or, you know, Diego, Nellis, you know, we have to have those guys on the ice. JT Hanke, we have to get JT going. Again, we'll be cognizant of matchups and do the best we can, but we don't want to let it take it out of, you take away from who we are and what we need to do to be successful. You start missing rotations upon rotations of a defense pairing or maybe a line, for them mentally, it gets hard to stay in the game. So there's a real fine line to trying to do that and, how strict you want to match up.
Yeah, it'll be difficult, too, because of where we're playing. It's just such a different facility. It's hard to explain to fans who have never been there what you're going up against there. But that adds a little wrinkle to things and how you do things as well. This team's played well of late, though, and you mentioned JT a moment ago. I think Hanky's had a heck of a year. He's got 27 points right now. He's still in the top dozen or so scorers in the WCHA. He led the league for a long time in the first half of the season. Kind of fallen off a little bit in the second half, but there are very few playmakers as good as JT Hanky in the WCHA.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked Tuesday as well that this sheet sometimes are not quite as much time and space for him to be able to make some of those plays, but I think in a lot of ways there really is, because the way they play, they want to race out at you. They want to play north at you, come up at you. So JT has the ability to draw a guy in, to have that poise and still find a passing lane. So, obviously he's a guy that really makes us go offensively. And, the matchups they get with him and Braden Gelsinger and Jake Hand, those guys have to show up this weekend. Our best players have to be our best players in crunch time. And he's certainly one of those go-to guys that we count on.
Okay, well, it's going to be an interesting series this weekend, and hopefully we can get off to a great start on Friday night. I don't know how you guys look at things, the coaching staff. I'd love to get the first goal. I think the Lakers are a really tough team if they get ahead because they played so well. But, defensively, you mentioned a few moments ago how well you've been playing in recent games. I think I agree with that. Even the two freshmen, Rydell and Anderson, have been playing together and doing a really good job, which is tough because they're first-year players. But at this point in the season, there are no first-year players. These guys have got a year under their belt now.
Yeah, and they're playing like it now. I think same thing with Hampus and, a lot of our guys. They've taken that step, and, they understand what the preparation it takes week to week and to be ready going into a Friday, Saturday night. Everybody's a pretty level playing field at this point. So, we like where we're at. It's been a good few weeks for us and a confident group here. But you know what? It's at the same time, we've been hearing some of that. It's over. It's about what we do Friday night and how prepared we are. Certainly get off the bus tonight, have that good last skate or heavy skate, and then we're kind of in that road mindset once again. So excited to be, on our way here shortly and then just prepping and a singular focus on winning Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good series, and we'll be there. Pat O'Neill and I will provide play-by-play for everybody on YesFM, and we'll certainly stay on top of what's going on the other games. Interesting this weekend that Huntsville does play right at the same time we do. Normally they're a central time start. They'll start an hour later, but tonight they're starting early. They're going to go, Friday night rather, they're going to go at 6 p.m. their time, which would put them right at the same time as Lake Superior State and Ferris State at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday they're going to play a 4 o'clock in the afternoon start central time, which would be 5 our time. They'll be pretty much into that hockey game, into the third period by the time we drop the puck. So we'll know what we got to do. We'll know what we got to face, but the key is, as you say, Damon, it doesn't matter. We have to do what we have to do, and that starts with a win on Friday night.
That's right. Take care of our own business, and just be prepared to play and, find a way to enjoy the moment. We don't want to go down there and be tense and worried about it. Play loose. Be excited for the opportunity we've fought and scratched for, and then go take advantage in a good environment on the road against a good hockey team. So we'll be up for the challenge and really looking forward to it. So thanks very much, Bill. Appreciate it. Have a great Thursday, and go Lakers.
All righty. That's it for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.